How do you change someone's life by creating world abundance through business re-education? In my interview with Craig Honberger, master licensee for action coach in the Midwest states of the U.S., he will share some highlights of his career in helping people truly have life-changing results. So, let's get to it. So, Craig, what do you feel are the top three skills that someone may need to be successful in franchising?
Oh, great question, William. There's so many, but the top three that I would have to pick are, number one, they have to be self-driven, self-motivated, hardworking. I'll put that into one. Even though franchises give such an amazing wealth of resources and tools and support and systems and training, it's still your own business. You have to go bust it every day. You can't have a boss. You're not going to have a boss that's telling you what to do all day, every day. So you got to be self-motivated. Number two, you got to have confidence. You got to go after it. You can't sit around and waffle. You got to be able to make decisions and confidently go after those. And then I'd say the third one is taking full advantage of the training, the support, the tools, the systems that you're investing in. There's no reason not to. That's why you do this. It's a huge advantage. So I'd say those are my top three.
That's great to hear. But do you feel there's anything specific that you would do, or what made you choose this, invest in franchising, but particularly in the business coaching and the white collar
side? Yeah, that's a really good question. When I first was escaping the corporate world, I came out of mergers and acquisitions, large Fortune 200 stuff. And I looked around the boardroom one day and I went, I can't do this anymore. I've got to get out and it's time to buy a business. And so I looked at starting my own business from scratch. I looked at buying existing businesses. I started looking at franchising. And I quickly realized starting my own thing from scratch probably would be the riskiest move there would be. And number one, I like team and I like having something that I can rely on. I didn't want to be the only guy with a vested interest in my success. So we were starting to look at buying existing businesses, but man, if they were being in the mergers and acquisitions and business turnaround space prior, doing it on somebody else's budget, somebody else's money, that was great because I got paid whether the project went well or not. And if it was an existing business and I could afford it and all that kind of stuff, it was potentially throwing good money after bad if I couldn't turn that thing around pretty quickly. And those that were doing really well and could easily pay me the kind of money I wanted were a lot more money, and I didn't necessarily trust the financials, or they were so reliant on the owner working 60 hours a week. And I thought, man, if that owner's gone, what's going to happen? So there's just a lot more risks in franchising, a lot cheaper to get into. Number one, all the tools, all the systems, you got a whole team behind you that's interested in your success. It's helping you. You're speaking the same language, all of that kind of stuff. You got a team to rely on. It's kind of the best of both worlds in terms of putting it all together. So that's why franchising. And I looked at everything. You name it, I looked at it. Food, automotive, whatever. Then I came across an ad in the Wall Street Journal that said, wanted, people with passion, people with heart. Use your business and leadership skills to help other people achieve their goals and dreams in business. You know, send away for more information, whatever. And it was Action Coach. And I looked at Action Coach. I fell in love with the model and really dug in, did a lot of due diligence. And I did a lot of due diligence on myself too. Who am I? What am I most passionate about? And I love growing businesses. I love working with leaders. I didn't want a business that had nights and weekends and low-priced labor and lots of inventory. And so it's like food got weeded out pretty quickly. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want that. And this was normal business hours, a calendar I could be in complete control of. I don't have to open a store at a certain time and close it at a certain time. I'm not going to have people calling in sick on Friday night and I have to run in to, you know, make sure the shop keeps running and stuff like that. And this really ticked all my passions, growing businesses, learning, growing, developing, working with other leaders, all that kind of stuff. So that's why I ultimately chose Action Coach. Looked at all the, well, I was going to say, I looked at all the everything else in the space at the time too. And some of them are no longer in existence, but I looked at everything because I'm a, if I'm going to do something, I want to be with the best. And so I looked at everybody in the space and looked at it and went, who do I think has the best, most robust tools, systems, intellectual property, and is going to really be there in the long run, and be dominating the industry. And then obviously I settled on Action Coach on that.
You did your due diligence, obviously. And going from mergers and acquisitions, I'm assuming that you had a big, little bit of a financial background to your career. And so let's just say I was looking to acquire a franchise or get involved with franchising. What particular questions should I be asking of the franchisor when looking at an opportunity?
Yeah, I would definitely be asking them. I'd be looking at, what does the training look like? How much training do I get? What does the support systems look like? What does the actual product or service look like? So in our case, because we're not selling hamburgers or something like that, it's intellectual property. So dive into the intellectual property to make sure there's like real meat there, so to speak. I'd be asking what makes you different and better than anybody else in the industry. What's the what do I get for my investment? What does the economic model look like? And I would be asking to talk with other franchise owners for sure. And from my perspective, I looked at franchise owners. I talked to everybody around the world at the time. There was only maybe 45 or so back then. And so since they brought me in, William, look at the growth we've had. But at any rate, I talked to a lot of people and I validated, okay, is the economic model really there? Can I really make the kind of income I want to make? This is what I need to make. Is that realistic? And certainly, obviously, I figured out it was. Is the intellectual property really that good? Is the lifestyle what I really want it to be? And then I vetted, because there's people on both sides of the bell curve in every organization. And so the people that were super successful and really making it happen, and then there's people that struggle, and there's people in the middle. And I was just assessing in my own mind, who do I feel like I resonate most with? Do I resonate most with the people on the right side of that curve, or do I resonate with most with the people on the left side? And if I resonated most with the people on the left side, I was that franchise was crossed off my list. And obviously, with an Action Coach, I felt like I resonated most with the people on the right side of that curve.
And obviously, there is a sense of balance of work and play, no? That with that you cannot have with a brick and mortar, you know, pizza or hamburger.
Yeah, drink. Exactly. This is definitely a lot of fun, you know, kind of a business. Our culture, fun is one of our points of culture, and we like to express that on a daily basis. And I can thrive in this kind of a business because you can come and go as you please. You can set up your calendar how you want it. I don't have to be in a brick and mortar. And the intellectual property that we have has actually made me a better, not just a better business person, but a better husband, a better dad, just a better human being. It's such an amazing business that way. And it exposes us to so many other businesses. One of my criteria when I was looking at, when I really got clear about my own criteria for acquiring the next business, I didn't want something that would pigeonhole me into one industry. I wanted something that would actually help facilitate me investing in other businesses and other industries. And this prepares us for that in a big way. And being in the middle of deal flow, working with other business owners, things like that, it's an opportunity to actually do equity deals with clients from time to time and things like that. It's just such an amazing business that way if you're into the business of business. If you're into making hamburgers or making sandwiches, we're not the right kind of business for you.
And getting off the subject of the actual day-to-day, how you have quite a large territory area in your franchise. opportunity. How do you manage that? I mean, is there, because I know your wife is your business partner, I assume.
Yes. You know that. Yeah. And that's my.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you balance such a big region and between the two of you and give us a little insight on
that. Yeah. Well, part of it is having a great team. So we have employees and we have a team. Part of that is picking really good franchise partners to work with. And so we're serious about the people we want to work with. And they own their own businesses. So it's not like I have to supervise them or manage them. And Annette and I divide out the different skills, you know, the things that I'm really good at and passionate about. Those are the things that I focus on, and the things that she's really good at and passionate about, she focuses on those things. And so, building the right team to augment our skills is a big part of it as well.
That's interesting because I always believe that whatever decisions you make or I make or any individual is going to that's going to change their life, literally, you have to have a buy-in from your partner, be it your wife, your husband, or, you know, whether they actually work with you day-to-day on it or not, there has to be a buy-in, no?
Absolutely. And in fact, in our master franchise territory, if we are vetting a new candidate to become a franchise owner, we actually require spousal support. So during the due diligence process, the spouse has to get involved at a certain point. And, you know, at the end of the day, business is not easy. And as many of the advantages as franchising provides, you know, at the end of the day, the buck stops at my desk. And you got to be able to go home and have a cheerleader in your corner, whether they're involved in the business or not, that part's irrelevant. But they have to be a cheerleader and they have to believe in you and all that kind of stuff. You can't have somebody going, oh my gosh, you should go get a corporate job. Like, I can't believe you did this to the family, that kind of thing. And it's the same thing with the clients that we work with. The vast majority of them are family-owned businesses, and that spousal support for whoever is running the business is crucial.
Yeah, I've heard that before in a couple of the interviews where actually as a franchisee, you have actually changed, as a business coach, you've actually changed lives.
We do. In fact, the day I got it, William, I remember when I was first looking at Action Coach and the people in the franchisor's office were telling me to be, you know, we're really serious about our vision and our mission and our culture. And I was jaded coming out of the corporate world. Quite frankly, every company I worked for, it was very large Fortune 200s. We all had a really nice vision statement, and some of them had core values listed, but nobody could ever recite them. Nobody knew what they were, and the core values would get thrown out the door in 2 minutes if it meant making a buck at the end of the quarter to make Wall Street happy. And so I come into this, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, as long as I've got an arm's length contract and I pay my royalty, you guys will be happy. You're making this big deal out of the vision, world abundance through business reeducation. And quite frankly, my jadedness, I was thinking, okay, that sounds mom and apple pie and all that stuff. And yeah, that's nice. But I know at the end of the day, you just want me to pay my royalty, but I'll have my contract. You won't have control over me like if I was an employee. So that's good. And if it's half as good as it sounds, it's still better than what I'm coming from. That's literally what I was thinking. A year into the business, I went out and got clients to start. And then I started marketing the franchise. A year into business, I bumped into a client of mine who, when I first started working with him, hadn't been on a day of vacation in over 4 years. He was working 75 hours a week, marriage on the rocks, had a literally non-existent relationship with his two boys, had a really successful, fast-growing business, was building his wife the dream mansion on the newest, you know, country club in town and stuff like that. And he started working with me because he wanted to get his $25 million business to $100 million quickly. And when I brought him on board, I find out that his life is a mess. He's working too many hours, didn't have time to grow it anyway. And even if I could grow it with his team, he didn't have time to enjoy the fruit of it. So we worked on team and systems and culture. Well, anyway, we get him down to 40 hours a week, and then we start really working on growth. It's a year into the relationship. I bump into him at the zoo on a Tuesday afternoon. I took my wife and my kids to the zoo on Tuesday afternoon that year, or that week. And we're just going through the zoo. He's going in the opposite direction. I didn't even know he was at the zoo. Bump into him. Our wives, you know, we introduce our wives and our kids. Our kids were around the same age. So they start talking about what animals they'd seen or not, and the wives are chatting. Annette wasn't involved in the business yet. She joined about a year later. And at any rate, he grabs me, pulls me by the sleeve, and he says, come over here for a second. I'm like, yeah, what's up? And we step maybe 5-10 yards away. And I figured he wanted to talk to me about one of the marketing programs we were working on. And William, he literally puts his hands on my shoulders, looks me deep into the eyes, gives me this like soul piercing gaze, and he says, thank you. And I had cognitive dissonance for a second, because I'm literally thinking, wait a second, this doesn't make sense. He's like this deep personal heart piercing thank you, and we're working, and I'm thinking marketing. And I'm like, for what? And he said, you see my boys over there? And I said, yeah, what about them? And I looked, and he said, they're growing up with a totally different father than they ever would have had I not met you and gone through this program. You've changed the future of their life. And that's driving home that day, and I was just processing everything. That's the day I got it, in terms of our vision really is real. It's world abundance through business reeducation. If we can help enough of, his name is Greg, but if we can help enough Gregs of the world put it all together so they have an ever-growing business with a great culture and lots of time and energy for their family, and their personal wealth is going up and their enterprise value is increasing for a future exit, he's hiring more people, serving more customers, his family's better. If we can help enough Gregs of the world achieve that true balanced success in life, not just financial, that's where the world abundance comes in. So, you know, the Gregs of the world are the influencers. They influence their own families, obviously. They influence our customers, our suppliers, our employees, and their families. One of his guys, when we were working together, went out and launched his own business at some point. And he didn't go into his business thinking to be a super successful business owner. You work 75 hours a week because you put your business first. He went into it thinking you build a great team, you give them the right tools, the right systems, the right resources, the right leadership team, and then you take your family to the zoo on Tuesday afternoon. So whether that guy ever achieved that or not, he actually had a better ideal of what a great business owner is all about. So, yeah, that's the day I got it.
That's a great, and I hear countless of stories like this, that it's something, when you change people's lives, it's a little bit different of your prior life. And thinking of your prior life, is there anything that you would do differently if you were starting the business today than you did way back when you came into the business?
Yeah, a lot. number one, I would have trusted the systems even more. There were certain aspects of the Action Coach systems that I went, man, we never would have done this in my old corporate days. And so I discounted certain things early and resisted applying things that felt really uncomfortable to me. And once I did them, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's why they're there. They actually work. So that's one thing. I would have hired an administrative assistant immediately, and taken all the stuff that's not my unique gifting off my plate for somebody that doesn't cost nearly as much. And probably the third thing, leaving the corporate world, I rebelled a little bit from some of what made the corporate world successful. And so I disliked the culture. I disliked the just squeezing of people. I disliked the fact that, you know, work always came first, and all that mattered was hitting a number for Wall Street at the end of the quarter and put your family second and things like that. And so I was rebelling from certain elements of it, more of the cultural and political elements, and having more control over my life. But I also resisted some of the disciplines that the corporate world brought to play. And so I wish I would have instilled some of those disciplines, or kept some of those immediately. I had to rebuild those again later after I kind of threw some of that stuff out the window.
And even though you are, you work for yourself and you have your business, I feel or I know that there's a sense of community between all of the franchisees in the system, and that some of the words that I hear is that, you know, I wish I had tapped into that community earlier. I wish I had reached out for assistance, for help, for suggestions, for advice. And is that something that is built into it, built into your network?
Yeah. When I was talking to one of the people when I was doing my due diligence originally, the people mentioned that a lot, but one guy specifically said you should have a key metric. You should talk to at least X number of other Action Coach people every day of the week. And I'm like, oh, there we go. So I set a goal that I was going to talk to a minimum of two other Action Coaches every day of the week, no matter what, instead of being on an island. And so I just cycled through and got to know people and would call them up and pick their brain. And whether it was just to celebrate a victory or whether it was to ask for advice over a situation that I had that didn't work out as well as I wanted, or I just was confused and didn't know exactly what I was going to do. And I do see, so I was really good at that from day one. If there's anything I would have done different in that regard is I would have budgeted. There wasn't anybody local to drive to back then. I would have had to hop on a plane and go visit people. And I started doing that maybe a year and a half or 2 years in. I wish I would have did that immediately. I wish I would have flown to other areas immediately to do a day in the life with other people that were more seasoned than I was. And I see that all the time with franchise owners. Those who try to do this on an island by themselves are wasting an incredibly valuable resource. And I think part of it stems from they come from the corporate world and you're taught to, you know, you better figure it out. If you ask for help, it's a sign of weakness, whatever. But we're a bunch of people who are in this business in large part because we want to help others be successful. So it's really super cool when I get a phone call from another franchise owner saying, hey, can you help me with this? I absolutely love that. I don't care where in the world they happen to be. We're all here to help each other, plain and simple. So I think that's a giant part of it. Like I said, I looked at a lot of franchises, you know, back then before I found Action Coach even, and some of them just didn't have that. And we've got this really cool, unique culture where it's a family, it's a team, and we've all got each other's backs. And so I think people should really truly take advantage of that.
You're in the business of business coaching. So it's a people business. It's more so than, you know, flipping burgers. So it's important to keep it a people business. You know, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate it. I hope to see you soon, and hope you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, William. It's a pleasure knowing you, and I can't wait to see you soon enough as well. Take care. God bless, my friend. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today, and hope you have gained some valuable insights into the world of franchising. My name is William Lesante, and I would like to invite you to the next episode of the Franchise Coach Podcast. Please make sure to like and subscribe and share with your network. Also, click the link below to learn more about franchising with Action Coach. Thank you.